Welcome back, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're in the first half of the 3 o'clock hour, and that means it is Maggie and the Millionaires talking money. I've got two great guests today. Nabeel Ahmed, Director of Economic and Racial Justice at Oxfam. They have released a report today titled Multilateralism in an Era of Global Oligarchy. Tomorrow, the United Nations kicks off a big debate on this explosion of inequality, really getting turbocharged since COVID. We're also joined by Scott Ellis, founder of the Excessive Wealth Disorder Institute. Nabeel, we've been talking about this symbiotic relationship between the ultra-wealthy tax policy, labor policy, and what that's code for is basically the ultra-wealthy being able to control the levers of government and to enact and achieve the policies that they wish to see, and by doing so, further enrich themselves and further consolidate power. But the history here is rich, and it goes back quite a ways. This didn't just pop out of nowhere, did it?
No, it didn't. It didn't. Now, we're seeing, actually, we're at the peak of a period that's lasted a few decades where the very richest in our society and the corporations that they control have really got their way through lobbying, through shaping norms and rules in their favor, and they're massively from it. And that's how there's been such a concentration of wealth. But what people maybe don't know as much is that there has been a different time too. As well, I look at the period after World War II, for example, in the United States, and we by no way want to say this was like a time in which things were perfect. There were still gaps, you know, especially people of color weren't able to gain as much as others. But we've also got to say that was a period in which we saw some progressive legislation. Let's just talk about one of the issues that we've talked about today, tax, right? There were efforts to ensure that the richest in society were paying their fair share. President FDR literally went to Congress and he proposed a rate of 100% of the very top tax rate on the very richest people in the United States. So he didn't get 100%. They settled for 94%.
Yeah.
And over a three to four decade period, that top marginal income tax rate in the United States, it averaged 81%. Percent until the early 80s. People are shocked when we hear this. And that was also a period in which the middle class grew, in which there was investment in innovation and infrastructure in the United States, even put a man on the moon. So I think we can like learn from the experience of moments like this to say we can actually do policy a different way. We can look in the United States into its history. There are other countries that have done things a better way. But we also got to be clear-eyed to say things have gone in the wrong way. In country after country, it's a global trend. And we need to put the brakes on this extreme wealth concentration. It's not just an academic issue. It's something that affects us all. Sorry, Maggie.
No. Please, listen. I'd like somebody to ask the former MAGA president to make America great again. Then I presume that you endorse an 81% effective tax rate for billionaires, sir. That would certainly start to close some of the gaps. Scott, you've thought about this quite a bit. When you hear some of these statistics from Oxfam's report that the world's top 1%, the most wealthy, own more wealth than 95% of us, what should we be doing in response?
Fighting it. First step is like, wake up, America. This is what's happening. This is real. People have been working very hard to hide this fact, to distract you from it, to get you to talk about other things. And I think, like we're doing right now, we should be talking about money. People need money. How do you help get a house for yourself and your family, pay for kids for college, live a wonderful life for yourself, work hard and get the benefits of that? That's the system we should have. We all need to be aware that it's being abused and exploited by a very small number of people to enrich themselves and hurt the rest of us. And so I think a lot of it's about all of us realizing this is happening, realizing we do have power, which is to vote to change the rules. And then we need to change the conversation. And we should be talking about wealth. We should be talking about what financial success means and what's enough, and then decide how to limit it when people, congratulations to them, they've achieved success. How do we limit it when they've gone beyond that so they don't undermine our capitalism and our democracy?
Scott, very quick follow-up. I've had callers that call in and say, listen, I want to be able to leave a couple million to my kids, et cetera, et cetera. And I say, we're not talking about you. We're talking about people with 30, 40, 50 million in net worth. We're not talking about middle class workers that are trying to leave something or help their kids buy a house. We're not talking about that. I have people call in and say, well, what about the small businesses? And we raise a corporate tax rate. And I say, listen, if you're a small business and you got a lot of expenses, we're talking about taxes on corporate profits. What is your brief response, Scott, to people that say those things? Because I always want us to take care that we're not trying to tax those folks. It's not you. If you're listening to the show, we're probably not talking about you, right?
Yeah. I mean, I basically say, do you have $30 million? If you so, congratulations. If you have less than $30 million, everything I'm talking about will only help you by making a fairer and better system. If you have over $30 million, I want to have a conversation and I am going to ask for your help. Another way I've been thinking about this is let's just talk about how many houses you can own.
Yeah.
Everyone own one house, that'd be wonderful. Maybe two, maybe three. Is it okay to own five? How about 10? Well, if it costs like $30 billion to buy every house in Milwaukee and Elon has $247 billion, he could buy every house in Milwaukee and like almost a million other houses. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, so it's wealth at that level. Yes, excessive wealth. Nabil, the G20 is set to meet in November, and one of the items that they're discussing is an international agreement for a minimum tax on billionaires. Oxfam has that idea and a few others. Tell us about that. We got about a minute left, sir.
Yeah, absolutely, sure. So we need to implement these progressive kind of policies. We need to do them in every country, but we also need to act at the international level. Brazil has shown leadership at the international level. It leads a G20 group of countries, and it's been trying to put forward this proposal to say, let's get to a global standard in which we're taxing the very, 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 very wealthy in every country to tax billionaires. And they've pushed other nations. They've got us to a place in which, for the first time in history, the G20 countries came together and said, okay, actually, we do need to tax the rich, and we'll begin to cooperate to do so. We've got a whole long way to be able to get to where we really need to get to, but it shows we can't tackle this problem in only one country alone. What do billionaires do? They'll stash their money away. They'll find a way out, but you need to cooperate. And then you know what, Maggie? That's a bit of hope as well.
I certainly hope so. Go G20. Go Nabil. My two special guests, Nabil Ahmed, Director of Economic and Racial Justice at Oxfam America, Scott Ellis, founder of the Excessive Wealth Disorder Institute. Whew, these segments go so fast, gents. We're going to have to leave it there. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network, back with Dom Selvey after these important messages. Yeah.